Good morning. My name is Rolana Smith, and I'm the youth pastor here. Could I have the youth stand up just to make me feel a little comfortable real quick? Okay, we have a couple. Awesome. I'll just pretend I'm talking to you instead of other people. So, and just like Steve said, I really highly encourage you to think about becoming a junior high or high school leader. Unlike the slide, you don't need to be fearless. In fact, don't tell the youth, but all of us leaders are scared a lot. But they're a great group of kids, and we're just so blessed. I've been doing youth ministry for over 7 years, and it's just a huge blessing, really, really fun. And this morning, you'll get to see just how respectful they all are. Right? but a little bit more about me. My name is Rolana, like I said, and I'm married to Jeff Smith, and in December we're expecting our first baby girl. And yes, we're very excited. And I was a very difficult teenager. And so God and I laugh a little bit as to why I'm teaching this, because I have very little experience in actually honoring our father and our mother. But I joke about that, but it is one of my deepest and very few regrets I have, is how I treated my parents when I was younger. So this morning is going to look a little bit differently, as you see with our couches. We're going to have some students and adults come up and share about their experience in honoring their parents. And we're going to ask more questions than answer them, and we're going to have some time at the end to reflect and pray. So I really ask you today to take some time and listen to the Lord and to what he's teaching you today in how to honor our parents. So when I recite this verse in my head, I always leave out the second part, so why don't we dive right in? It's in Exodus 20:12. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." And I always left out the promise at the end, because once I got through the command and realized I had disobeyed it my whole life, the promise didn't really apply to me. So I kept forgetting, like, what was that? What did God want to give us if we actually obeyed? And I don't know if you feel that way, but I'll ask you. So how many of you have really successfully honored your parents your whole life and wholeheartedly? Okay, if you did, I'd love you to stand and teach for me, because you have more to say than I do. But it looks like we're all in the same boat. We've all broken the commandment. We've all dishonored our parents, and so we're coming to this together. This promise that God gives us, Moses is referring to the promised land a little bit. He's referring to a longer life. But in the Israeli culture back then, everybody lived together, all generations. You didn't have your separate houses and fly to see your parents. You couldn't just ignore their phone call. So when you dishonored your parents, it had much more of an effect because all the generations were there and you were so close-knit. And when you had an entire family that disrespected each other, that would really affect the family. And we have tons of great examples of that in the Old Testament, of families who did not know how to honor each other. And literally their life would be shortened because they would kill each other, or they would hurt each other, or they would just have all of this strife. And it's probably safe to say that if you actually have a family that honors each other, both then and now, your quality of life increases. And so there's just this sense of honoring your parents has a huger effect than we think. And then, when Moses was saying this, that was even more true. They traveled together, they lived together. So that in the Ten Commandments, it's the positive. Honor your parents, and life is going to be a little bit better. Leviticus paints it a little bit differently. In Leviticus 20, verse 9, it says, "For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him." This is much more stark. You know, curse your parents and you'll die. And it's a much more consequence-heavy command. And obviously cursing is very different than just dishonoring, but it's much heavier and it shows the weight of this command that we're studying this morning. A parent relationship, as some of us know, is one of the most sacred things. And because it is one of the most sacred things, it can also be one of the most painful. A father and a mother, it says. And for some of us in that room, even just that, honor your father and your mother, is hard because some of us don't have a father. Some of us don't have a mother. We have step-parents. We have adopted. We have bio. We have in-laws. We have aunts and uncles and friends who have raised us and siblings. The titles are complicated. What to call who to honor when, which voice to listen to. It's very difficult to figure out, what does this commandment mean? You haven't met my family. You haven't met my father. Who is that? I don't know. And it adds to the complicating factors of just the simplicity of this verse. But when I talk about parents today, all of those people that have raised you, that have been a part of your life, are included. And it will be between you and God, and maybe even a counselor or a mentor, to figure out how to proceed forward. That is only between you and God. There's not a, if it's your in-law, do this, and if it's a step, do this. That really is between prayer and honest hard work. And when our pain in that relationship is too great, when there's strife between us and our parents, and the pain overwhelms us, honoring is a very foreign and abstract concept. We can't even get to honor because our pain just consumes us. And so some of you, that might be the case this morning. Honor is just laughable because of how much you've been hurt. And that's okay, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But just know that that is a part of life as well. A parent-child relationship should include unconditional love. Parents should provide safety and guidance, reproach, warmth, nurture. They're not to act out of selfish motives, out of anger, or to be too harsh. So parents in the room, which of you has lived up to this very honorable model? Okay, also in the same boat. And so as we know, as we have all dishonored our parents, every parent has also been dishonorable themselves. And the commandment does not say, honor your father and mother if they are honorable, if they have not done anything wrong, because that doesn't exist either. We all have pain because we have all dishonored each other. There is no person out there who does not have some parent issue. If they think that, they've repressed it really well. So you are not alone. And we all crave that perfect love, and I believe we crave that because only God can give that to us. It is a good craving to have, and therefore it is also a valid pain to have when our parents have hurt us. God the Father sets himself up as that, the perfect parent. And though we might be frustrated with him at times and confused, we might be mad at him, he indeed does have those qualities listed before. Unconditional love, does not act out of selfish motives, is not too harsh. And we are adopted into his family. And as Steve mentioned, we are all a family. And that includes that the parent title goes far beyond the people who actually raise us, but it extends to God and extends to everyone in this room. And in 1 John 3, 1 and 2, it says, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And at the beginning of verse 2, it says, beloved, we are God's children now. And I know that for me, when there was pain, that's what I had to cling to, is that even though this relationship with my parents is what I was given, no matter what, I am God's child. And as all the Ten Commandments, we know that they go much deeper than the first read of it. And same with this one, it goes deeper than just obeying. It's not just a list of, mom says clean my room, check. Respecting God and respecting who he put in charge of us is at the heart of this commandment. And the Hebrew word for honor has this great gravity to it and a weight. It comes from the heart. If you look at all the verses that talk about respecting our parents and honoring them, respect, obedience, and honor are the main themes. So it's not just respecting without obedience. We can't just say, mom, I respectfully disagree that my room should be cleaned. though that is better than just yelling. That is not quite what God is asking of us either. Though we know that God is not a God of rules and tediousness or just blindly following suit with whatever our parent says. So we're going to discuss a little bit more about that, and we're going to deepen into this verse. And I'm going to do that by actually having some of our adults and students come up, and they're going to share a little bit about how they've learned to honor their parents. It's not going to be all of their experiences and details, but they're going to share a little bit with some questions that we have for them. So I'm going to invite up the students and adults to come up. And the mic's over there. So we're going to start just by having them introduce themselves, and when we get to the students, also what grade you're going into. And then I'd love for you to share just maybe one thing that you love about your parents.
I'm Chrissy, and about my parents, I would say just one thing. They're smart and hardworking.
I'm Emily, and one thing I love about my parents is they've always been very encouraging about the big life decisions I've made, which sometimes has been really scary, like moving to California. But they always, like, push me and are, like, really excited, so that's been good and helpful.
I'm Alex, and it's a good question. probably have appreciated my parents' warmth and generosity.
My name's Ron, and I think my parents are very kind and gentle, both to me and to everybody, and they love everybody, and everybody loves them. So.
My name is Joaquin. I'm going to sophomore year, and I probably like that my mom was really forgiving.
Hi, I'm Luke. I'm going into my first year of high school, and I'd probably say that I like that my parents like to get the whole family together and we do family activities.
Hi, my name is Peter, and I'm going to seventh, and I like that my parents are very helpful and kind and just helpful in a lot of things and very kind of and everything.
Great. So we're going to start with you, Peter. I'm going to ask you a question that you already know, and just take some time to answer it and think about it, and we'll just kind of go down the line a little bit. So can you tell us how you show your parents respect even when they aren't around, like at school or with friends?
So I think there's kind of two ways that they would, that you could respect your parents. You could either respect them, you can obey them, or you could say nice things about them. So you could say nice things about them at home, as if, like, since I have a sister and sometimes she gets angry and she says a lot of mean things to my parents. So then wait, later when she's alone, I can walk up to her and say, "You're angry, and they're actually pretty nice and they're not that mean." And you can also obey your parents if they're not in the room at home, if they leave and they say, "Peter, you shouldn't kick the ball around inside. So I don't, and I just don't do that. And at school, you can obey them by, like, if I'm hanging out with friends and they say to come home early or come home at, I don't know, let's say 9:30. So then I would come home at 9:30, maybe earlier or maybe just exactly on time, not later. And you can say nice things about them at school and with friends. Like, if you could just say, like, "Oh, yeah, yesterday I had some hard homework, but my parents helped me with it, and they're just very helpful. So I got through it."
That's great. Thanks, Peter. So, Luke, do you think that your parents should earn respect or that they should just be given it no matter what?
Yes, I do think my parents should earn respect. And not only because my dad's sitting right there. But not only do my parents, you know, they care for me, they teach me. They have a lot more experience than I do. If I were just to live on my own, I probably could not make it one day or longer than that. There are just a lot of things that they do that I personally have no dealing with. I do not know how to handle myself in those situations. There are some situations where I look up to them, where they handle these places where I'm struggling. So there are a lot of places in my life when I remember times when people ask me a question where I was bullied or just when mainly when people are talking to me and then I did not know how to answer, they would prompt me, they would, you know, put their hand on me, they would reassure me about that they're with me, they're taking care of me, they're in control. Another thing is, if If I cannot respect my parents, I feel like it is harder to respect God. I cannot see God. I can't physically feel him. And I feel like that if it's harder to respect my parents, then it's how harder is it to respect God, you know? He's our Heavenly Father, so he's even more greater than my parents. So if I can't respect them, then I can't respect God.
Great. Thanks, Luke. All right, Joaquin. So when is it harder to respect your parents?
Probably when it appears like they're not listening to me. It's like we're doing something and then we both want to get to the same goal, but she wants to do it one way, I want to do it another way, and she just kind of like ignores my way, or seemingly ignores it sometimes. And she doesn't give me a reason why, so it's like, you're not listening to me, why aren't you listening to me? So
how do you end up respecting in that difficulty?
There's nothing really I can do besides just go along with what she says. Like, hopefully it fixes itself in the end, but when we're deciding what to do, I have to do what she does. All right. Or what she chooses to do.
Great. Thanks, Joaquin. So actually, I'm going to pass it to Alex. So we're going to ask the adults some questions and give them a little bit, some challenging ones. So when do you feel most respected by your kids? Do you feel respected by your kids?
We're going to talk afterwards. As we had a good long 12-hour drive back from Yellowstone, so I had a chance to think about this. First is that I feel respected when my children are thankful and grateful for what we do. And I realize it's not necessarily for the things, for the quality of what we do for them, but just the intent when they recognize that we did something for them and when they can say thank you and when they can recognize that. That's a great thing as a parent. Secondly, I feel very honored when my children remember who I am and they remember what's important to me. And they remember that when I'm not around, like being on time or whatever it might be. It's interesting that as I reflected on this, being respected meant being remembered. And thirdly, I was thinking that I feel respected from my kids not just by deed, but also in words, probably increasingly by words, or I feel disrespected because of words is probably the other side of that. And not empty politeness, because there's plenty of empty politeness that I can encounter, but words that are maybe not in agreement, but words that reflect that they are respecting and honoring. And probably as I think through my own relationships with my parents, I think about the gift of time and transparency, which goes beyond, how you doing? Fine. How was school? Fine. So.
Great. Thanks, Alex. So for Ron, how can we respect our parents as adults?
So Genesis 2 says we should leave our parents and cleave to our spouse. And so I think once we do that, then we are no longer under the authority of our parents in the sense of a child is. But we can still honor and respect them in other ways. So I think, asking for their advice occasionally, leveraging their life experience and their wisdom, not necessarily in an obedient sense, but just almost as a peer, sort of understanding, getting their life experience, and they've lived longer. I think also maintaining relationships, keeping in touch with them. Alex talked about transparency and spending time, scheduling visits with them, depending if they're near or far. Going cross country to visit or having them come. My parents live about an hour away, so. We've had them come down every other week or so to spend the night and watch the kids and stay engaged with us. And Alice's mom is cross country, so we travel over there once a year, and she comes here every couple times a year. Another thing Peter mentioned was saying nice things. So saying encouraging things to them in person and when they're not around, and especially in front of their kids. I think, you know, we can, you know, show respect to them and speak highly of them so that our kids have a sense of what, you know, who their grandparents are. And that's not necessarily whitewashing, you know, maybe some of the bad things that happened or they did. You know, we all have done bad things and our parents have all done bad things, but not disparaging them or you know, undercutting them or undermining them in front of our children or in front of them. So.
Great, thank you. All right, Emily. How can we be respectful when our parents are doing things that might be particularly difficult to respect?
So this is something I've struggled with a lot. Growing up, my entire life, but especially growing up, just because of decisions that my parents made that affected my siblings and I very negatively. But as I've grown in my own relationship with the Lord, I've been able to see how I make decisions that also affect people. So through that, I've been able to give them more grace, but also this year, I met with Lynn Fox, who's the counselor here, as my mentor, and we talked a lot about this. And one day she read, I don't remember if it was like a blog or an article, I don't remember much about it, but it was something that someone wrote about how they struggled with their mother. And the one thing I do remember and think about all the time is in it, it said, the Bible commands me to honor my mother, not who she is. And at first, I didn't really know what that meant, but it definitely stuck out to me a lot. So as I've thought about it more and prayed about it more, I've just kind of like realized that like God gave me these people, and they struggle with a lot of things, and I'm also going to struggle with a lot of things. But like through honoring them and just like learning from their mistakes, but still loving them through it, I'm honoring Him, which is very important. So I've just like, I've meditated on that a lot. I think it's something that I'm like learning a lot about and will learn my whole life, like how to respect my parents when they're hard to respect because they still are sometimes. But just like through focusing on Him and like how He's doing good things through them and their mistakes, like it is easier to respect them. So just kind of through that He like provides redemption and provision for like the ways that they're sometimes hard to respect.
Great, thanks. Going to Chrissy. Thanks for being up here, Chrissy. So how can we honor our parents when they have pressures and demands that might oppose our desires or beliefs?
Yeah, I've thought about, well, growing up, as you grow up, you realize your parents will always be parents, right? Can never get away from that. And I think what's helped me has, as I've just seen, like my decision to go overseas and serve God, that took a series of decisions over 3 years. So I did experience this. And I found that Ephesians 5 definitely holds true to submit to one another or the person in authority over you, the parent, in out of reverence or fear for the Lord. So since my parents will always be my parents, and yet I don't have to do everything that they say, like God is my ultimate parent, as you were talking about, Orlana. So it has helped me to kind of zoom out and consider not just like reacting against the pressures and demands and, you know, wanting to do my own thing, but I've just had to see or ask the question, what's going on their end? Like, what's behind the pressure and demand where they don't want me to go overseas? And to look at the values or what are the things that they hold so dearly? And that allows me to have compassion and live in an understanding way with them. And then it has helped me to look at myself too. What's going on my own end? Am I obeying the Lord and being faithful to what He's asking of me? And also, I need to be looking at my heart too. Like, am I still honoring them in my heart, even though my decision my actions may not be in line with theirs? So still to love and honor them in the midst of that.
Great, thanks. So I think we have time for two more questions. So does someone want to take on maybe the, do you think respect needs to be earned or expected on the adult side?
I'll say something. I've flip-flopped on this, seeing that that respect would need to be earned. But at the same time, I've learned over the years, too, that the fact that God has put someone in authority over me, whether it's a boss or a parent or leaders, because of that position, oh, it's like what Emily, you were saying, to honor or respect the person, the position, and not necessarily the person. Like I might have had questions about our president, any of the ones in the past. You know, maybe it's hard to respect the individual, but because it's the president of the United States, I need to respect and honor him. So as I look at my parents, they are my parents, and as such, what does God ask of me to in honoring and loving them? And that will help to determine what my decisions or my attitude and actions are towards them.
Great, thanks. And for the students, we'll pass it back. Does somebody want to talk about how to be respectful when you totally disagree or just like ready to yell at your parents because you're mad at them? What do you do practically to help you respect them? I guess that's never happened. You've never been angry.
That's a very difficult one. I mean, a lot of times I have talked back, and there were consequences. But when that happens, you know, your face gets red. You really, in your head, you just think of all the bad things you want to say about them. You know, all the times about, you're wrong, you know. I should get what I want. I'm right. And there are just times where I feel like I have to stand down, still that they're the boss. In that way, respect them. Yeah, this is a hard one. More, just listen to what they have to say and accept it as right. You know, as I said before, they probably know what they're doing more than I do.
Great, thanks. Well, thanks to all of our panelists. You guys can, thank you, yeah. I definitely remember the day that I figured out that God had gifted me with incredible wisdom and knowledge far beyond all of the adults in my life. And it made it a little bit hard to respect them for a little while, but he evened it out. It was fine. They got it. Now, thanks again for the panelists. I love just hearing from different people. We all have different backgrounds, different parent relationships, and we all struggle with this, but hearing from one another as the family of God is just so helpful. So as you see, we've asked a lot of questions. We didn't answer tons really practically, really narrowly. We don't have the time for that. But we did set up a few tensions. One of them is as you're growing in the Lord and as you're growing in life and you have all these questions and opinions, how do you still honor and obey your parents? And another tension is how do you obey them, especially if you're still under their authority? Like Ron was saying, when we're adults, we have a little bit more flexibility. How do we honor and obey them when they're asking unreasonable things? Or maybe for some of us, abusive parents. What do you do in those things? And additionally, we are called, and one of the calls today that I'm going to ask you is to work out some of those issues. But how do we do that without tearing our parents down to others and slandering them? What settings do we use and what words do we use to do that appropriately? And these are all really difficult tensions to hold when we are trying to respect our parents. For those of you who know me well, you know that my dad and I had a hard time loving each other. He passed away about 2.5 years ago, and I remember this tension, even after he passed, of trying to honor him with my heart and my words, but not to lie about the struggles we'd gone through, and just that tension being a really difficult one. And I was talking to a wiser friend. See, wisdom balances out. I was talking to a wiser friend, and he cornered me and he said, well, the problem is you think you're better than your dad. And a little stunned and offended, I left, prayed about it, talked to Jeff about it, and it was totally right. That was the core issue that kept me from honoring my dad even as he had passed away. As it turns out, when we think we're better than people, it makes it really hard to respect them. And it prevents forgiveness and compassion. And I feel forgiveness and compassion are vital to how we honor our parents. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about how they dishonored their parents, he quoted Isaiah in Matthew 15 and said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Their actions were there. They had their little checklist. Yes, honor. Yes, this. I avoided some things. But their hearts were far from honor. And again, God does not call us to lip service, to fake smiles and, yes, Daddy, but he really wants something deeper. He wants honor and respect to start in our hearts. And he wants our hearts to be healed of the pain that has been inflicted on us. But what that means is maybe for the first time in a long time, it means you being honest with God and maybe yourself about how much pain you really have with your parents. Some of us, because we've grown up in families where pain was shoved under the rug, it's really hard to admit how our hearts have been broken by that relationship. And God wants to be in there. He wants to heal that. And I know that's really scary. It also requires us to be honest about our disrespect. For me, it meant trying on new forms of respect. It meant trying out new things that worked and didn't. It meant learning when I got angry and finding other ways to cope so I wouldn't blow up or yell at my parents. It meant when my heart was raging, repenting to God. And it meant asking why I was so unforgiving when I had been forgiven so much by my Heavenly Father. And now it means begging for compassion to enter in when I'm being selfish or dishonorable. So our parents, as we know, are a reflection of God, but they are not God themselves. They are merely human, and I like what Alex said. I love when my kids remember me, because sometimes we expect them to be these perfect beings, and we forget that they have struggles and lives and difficulties and are scared to be parents. And alongside honoring our parents, forgiveness is required. It doesn't work any other way. So if we go back to the promise, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. More than the Israelites, we have a slightly easier choice. Like mentioned earlier, you can ignore your phone call. If you're a student living at home, you can still find other ways. You can keep yourself really busy. You can pretend you're doing homework. You can hide in the bathroom. There's a little bit more ways that we can evade honoring our parents, and we can disguise it a little bit. And the effects of dishonor are a little bit less because we don't see it in the context of family and community as much. But you do have a choice. You have a choice of how much time you spend with them, and I'm going to be really real with you about this choice. Your family has problems, and some of them are yours and some of them are your parents. It might be really subtle. It might be that they don't acknowledge pain, that they don't acknowledge problems to keep the peace, but your family has problems. We all do. And you have the choice to ignore it or to deal with it. And if you ignore it, it will leak. And it will bleed, and it will affect your family, your current generation, and the generations to come. And it will affect your relationship with God. And just as a reminder, sin does not like to stay dormant. It likes to grow, and it likes to destroy. And it will attempt to destroy your family. There's the other option, which is dealing with our problems. It means actually owning up to the good our parents have given us, and continuing that, and it means really trying to break the patterns that aren't good. And it starts with us. It doesn't start with your sister, doesn't start with your mom, doesn't start with your grandparents, it starts with us. We have to learn what honor, forgiveness, and compassion looks like. And it's completely impossible. It's impossible without God, It's impossible without failure, and it's impossible without repentance. But like everything given from God, it is worth it. It is something that is difficult and slow, but it is worth it. My mom and I, who is awesome, by the way, and she's sitting right over there. my mom and I have been working at our relationship for over 10 years, and it's been a difficult but good process. We process our pain differently. We have different types of life experiences. We sometimes process together and separately. We laugh, we cry, we still argue sometimes, but our love does continue to grow. I think we would both say that God has been faithful in the process to grow us closer to him and each other. And the effects will be worth it and will continue to be worth it. So I'm going to ask you again, what are you going to do? Are you going to ignore the issues and let sin grow? Or are you going to bring them to God and participate with him in this very difficult healing? And I don't want to simplify how difficult this process is. It is not just you own up to God and all of a sudden your family is better. Sometimes it actually makes things look worse at first. You cause some ruffles. Sometimes this is a very, very difficult process and a very, very slow process, but anything that God does in our life is worth it and good, and he will be faithful to us in that process. And I don't want to simplify that or imply that it looks the same for all of us. For some, it means investing more into our families. And for a few, it actually means investing less. Maybe you're trying to figure out, how do I honor my parents? And like me, maybe you've stolen, you've lied, or you've torn them down to others. And maybe it's time to confess to them what you've done. Maybe it's time to bring up some of your sins and actually apologize to them. And as a side note, parents, if your kids do this, please remember that it is one of the hardest things for a kid to do, because alongside expecting this amazing relationship from you, the biggest fear for most kids is to let you down. And so just remember that as if your child comes up to you, even a 60-year-old child, and confesses, please be gracious with them. But maybe honoring our parents means finding our triggers and what makes us really want to rage at them and finding different options. Maybe it means making a list of thank yous, just to yourself, you don't have to show them, making a list of thank yous of everything you appreciate about them to the Lord. Maybe it does mean showing it to them, or setting up boundaries, or walking away before you yell. But there is one thing that we all can do. We can all be praying for our parents. And if you're in that boat where the pain is too severe, that even that is too hard, we can be praying about the pain that hinders us from honoring them. And so I'd actually like to do that. I'd like to take some time to do that. But before that, if this has been a hard message, if something has brought something up, God has brought something up, I do really encourage you to find someone this week and pray with them or talk to them, because we are the family of Christ. And this is a journey that is really, really hard to do alone. So please involve someone. But we're going to have a minute to reflect and to pray about what God has done for us. So you have a prayer card in your bulletin that I'd like you to take out. And it has some verses on the back if you want to dig deeper. But I want us to either pray for our parents directly, or I'd love for us to pray about one of the roadblocks that keeps us from honoring them. And there's going to be some music in the background when we pray. And if possible, or if it's not too sensitive, I'd love for some of us to share our prayer by putting it in the offering basket or in the foyer basket in the back. And what we're going to do is we're going to put some of them up on the bulletin in the foyer next week. And even though we all have totally different life experiences and different pains, we have so much in common, and I hope that would be an encouragement to see how we're praying for our parents. You're also welcome to take your card home, and that's a very appropriate thing to do. If you want to take the card home for the verses and share your prayer in the offering, there are more of these cards in the back. And I think that's it. So I'm going to open up our time of reflection in prayer, and then you'll have, I think, about 2 minutes. Abba, Father, thank you that you are a father who adopts us into your family, that you are the father to the fatherless. Thank you that honoring our parents is a way of honoring you. Thank you that you are perfect, and we confess that we are not, and neither are our parents. God, in the next few minutes, would you open our hearts to hear from you? Would you help us to honor the parents you have given us? Amen.